Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, welcome to the show, everybody. Hello, hello, hello. Happy Saturday. Is it Saturday or is it Friday? I don't even know what the hell day it is anymore. Yeah, it's Saturday. Happy Saturday to everybody. Well, a lot of times I work third shift, so I get a little confused about the time, the time frames and that. But anyway, happy Saturday to each and every one of you. Okay, so here's what we know. There's a lot of things happening. That's what we know. A lot of things happening in the news. I wanted to go over a couple things with you guys. And, you know, one of the things that I have to say that bothers me is this whole thing with Wendy's. Has anybody heard about this? This new thing that they were going to try to do? Well, here's the good news. The good news is that Wendy's will not do the price surging. Apparently, their executives came out, was it today, I believe, and said they re-evaluated it and thought it's not a good idea because there was a lot of hype over this new pricing thing. If you don't know what I'm talking about, then you'd probably have to look it up. But look at it this way. Wendy's wanted to raise their prices on their menu. So they wanted to do a price increase during peak hours when it was busy. So during certain times of the day when it got busy, they wanted to raise their prices for supply and demand. And that way you would have to pay the extra fee for it because it's surge pricing. What they did is they took this idea out of Uber and Lyft's playbook. Just like how Uber and Lyft likes to surge prices, well, this company wanted to do the same idea by raising the prices during peak hours and then allowing people to have to pay those prices for the repercussions of the economy. Now, I don't know about you, but, you know, if you want a Wendy's hamburger that bad and you want to pay an extra, I believe it was like an extra dollar per meal, and then you had a percentage-wise per, like, item on the menu, but, again, a dollar per meal increase is a lot of money. And not only that it would be that, but it's just kind of silly. To me, it's like these corporations are getting greedier and greedier and greedier about wanting to get as much money as they can from somebody. And I think it's so funny because they want to blame it on the economy. That's all they want to do. And as long as they can say it's the economy that's doing it, that gives them a reason to raise the prices. And they know the customer will pay for it if they really want that damn Wendy's hamburger. You know, to me personally, Wendy's is not that great anyway. It's one of those food items that if I had a choice between that or Taco Bell or somewhere like that, I think I would choose another restaurant before I go to Wendy's. But the pricing is outrageous. It's really outrageous. And if they were, if they would have taken that to the next level of doing this surge pricing, so-called surge pricing, there would have been a lot of customers that would have been so upset. They would have lost probably a big base of their customers. I'm sure they would have. Because the pricing right now, I don't know if you've ever been through Wendy's, but if you've been to a Wendy's recently, you know that their pricing is already pretty damn high for their burgers and fries. I mean, when you go through the drive-thru and you're spending, you know, $10 almost per meal, it's pretty expensive, you know. And they really don't ever offer, like, value. I mean, they had the $5 biggie bag. $4 biggie bag. I love when they call these things their biggie bag. To me, a biggie bag is something that's going to fill the damn bag up, right? Because that's what a real biggie bag is, not what they put in it. I don't know. Has anybody ever went through there and got a biggie bag? So the $5 biggie bag, it usually has, like, you can get a burger or chicken sandwich, I think, and then it automatically comes with chicken nuggets and, like, you're getting, like, four chicken nuggets and a very small French fry and then the burger. And then not only the burger, but you get a small size drink. Well, to a lot of people, they're like, well, yeah, that's pretty a lot of food for them. I mean, yeah, to somebody out there that's a skinny ass or Karen Carpenter, yeah, that's pretty much a lot of food for them. But to the normal American who eats a lot of food like me, you'd have to give me three biggie bags, baby, not just one. For $5, it's not a fill-up. As a matter of fact, if you ever think about going, like, through, like, Kentucky Fried Chicken or one of those places where they have what's called a $5 fill-up bucket, or a $5 fill-up box, you know, you can get a pot pie for $5. That thing will fill you up more than the damn $5 biggie bag at Wendy's. But then, you know, they offer a drink and a regular size drink, but then you start to think to yourself, why would you care about the regular size drink? Who the hell cares? If they could give me more food versus the drink, I think I would rather have that. You know, but now Wendy's, just recently, like I said, they wanted to come out and raise their prices. So Wendy's, the article that was released the other day, they released an article. One was on ABC News, and it said Wendy's is pushing back on reports that the restaurant chain will increase menu prices. Wendy's is issuing a statement Tuesday, that's when it was, Tuesday, saying that it is investing $20 million into high-tech digital menu boards that would have the capability to update prices in real time. We said that these menu boards would give us more flexibility to change the display of featured items. This was misconstrued in some media reports. As the intended to raise prices, we demand its highest in our restaurants. The nation's second largest burger chain said in the statement Tuesday, we have no plans to do that and would not raise prices when our customers are visiting us the most. So Wendy's added that any changes would be designed for benefiting for the customers and restaurant crew members. Digital menu boards could allow us to change the menu offerings and different times of the day. That's what they're saying. They can change the offerings at different times of the day and offer discounts and value offers to our customers more easily, particularly in a slower times of day. The last food chain continued, Wendy's has always been about providing high-quality food and great value. And customers are continuing to expect that from our name brand. So when you think about that for a minute, guys, Wendy's wanting to invest these new menu boards where it's computer menu boards. By the way, it's funny that they bring that up because they're following the largest chain, which is number one largest chain of burgers, is McDonald's. Everybody knows that. So McDonald's has gone to that level where a lot of McDonald's have these menu boards where they're computerized. And so when you pull up to the drive-thru, it's a computer that speaks. It says, thank you for choosing McDonald's. How may I take your order? And then you speak into it like you're talking to a human. And then it will, put the items up on the screen with the pricing. And then, you know, you've got your food up there. You can actually read it back. And then, you know, that way it keeps the person from having to place your order all the time. So it cuts down the order taken where they can just take the money and pay for it. But the funny thing is I've actually went through one of these McDonald's that we have locally here in Cincinnati. And they have one of those menu boards. And I will tell you first and foremost, when you try to speak to the damn thing, half the time it doesn't understand what you're saying. For example, when I went through there one morning, McDonald's, I ordered 3 sausage burritos. Now, everybody knows what a sausage burrito is. I said, I need 3 sausage burritos. And you know what it said? It said 3 sausages. And that's what it was just charging me, 3 sausage patties, 3 sausage patties instead of sausage burritos. Think about that. So when I got to the next window, I'm like, before I pay for this, let me just reiterate that I wanted sausage burritos, not sausage patties. And they're like, oh, my God, yeah, I can see that. The lady felt so bad, she just gave me the burritos. You know, she didn't even charge me for them. But the whole thing of it is that, you know, this high-tech stuff that they have, yeah, I mean, it's a good way to help, speed up the transition of order taking to help cars get through the drive-thru faster. Because the whole purpose of fast food is to get people in and out fast. That's what fast food means. They, you know, if you're in the drive-thru for up to 10, 20, 30 minutes, you're in there a lot longer than you should be. And that's what they're wanting to do. So, and McDonald's has always promoted that fast food mentality of, you know, trying to be the fastest burgers in the world. So, and the thing is, if you haven't ever seen the movie, there's a movie on Netflix. It's called The Founder. Yeah, I think it's called The Founder. It has Michael Keaton in it. And Michael Keaton is a salesperson who sells like these ice cream shake machines. And when he stumbles across two men who were owning the McDonald's, which was just a mom and pop operation at one time, just a two brothers. Well, these guys started the burger thing, right? And then he ends up getting involved with them, saying, "Hey, I'll go out and I'll sell it and franchise it. All you got to do is put me on there as the franchisor, as the founder." And so what happened was he ended up taking the name of the owners, calling it McDonald's, because it was, I believe it was McDonald's, and then he changed it to McDonald's. And not only that he did that, but he ends up taking the money and reproducing it, of course, doing it his way and turning it against them, you know, getting new ice cream machines, which, you know, they base it upon those new ice cream machines that we see here that are always screwed up. And so it becomes this whole purpose of making it faster and faster and faster. But it's funny, if you've ever seen this TV show, The Founder, what's funny about it is that when they were promoting on how to make the food faster, they designed the kitchen of McDonald's to where, you know, they could actually prepare and prep the food, put it together, you know, cook it, dress it, package it, and then ship it out. And so what they did is they had to design the kitchen to make it easier for people to move around and make it more time efficient. And so that's what they did. They made the kitchen and the prep stations close to each other, so that way they wouldn't have far to go by prepping the food and moving it. It was basically going to turn into a conveyor belt type system, but then it would move very quickly. But in order to do it, they had to rearrange the kitchen to make it a certain way. And that's what they did in this TV show, The Founder. They showed how they made the fast food restaurant industry a lot faster. So it was efficient, it was quick, and, you know, people were enjoying that. And they still enjoy it today, right? People still go to McDonald's. But you know, it's really interesting watching how a lot of these companies started. And but here we are today. Technology is at its finest, right? Because that's what technology is. It's at its finest. It's really making things easier for people. But then again, some people, technology is hurting them. But the whole purpose of it is that now you have another fast food chain, Wendy's, wanting to put in these menus. I don't know why they need to incorporate discounted prices and all that. I mean, yeah, I can understand that, but that, you know, and it could be real-time pricing, but, you know, what people are saying that they're going to do is they're going to raise the prices during peak times, which means the times that they're the busiest, they're going to raise the prices. Again, this is the playbook of Lyft and Uber when they do their surge prices. Like when a person, you know, wants to get somewhere, they notice that the pricing goes way up and it may cost an extra $10, $20 to $50 to be picked up and then taken to the next location. What's really funny about like Uber and Lyft is, and they're very smart about how they do this, they know in each city when it is the busiest times. They know when you are going to the bars on a weekend at a certain time. They know that. For example, you go, okay, well, between the hours of 4 and 6, they'll keep the pricing lower with no surges. They get you to your location that you're going to. Usually it's on the weekend bars. and they know you've been drinking and you know you've been going through this process of being drunk and so forth or way intoxicated. The point is you just can't drive. And so they know you've Ubered there, that you've Lyfted there, and now they know you have to get out of the damn city that you're in, which now you're thinking, I have to pay something to get the hell out of here. So what do? They raise the prices. And that's when it's called supply and demand to make sure that you have to be forced to get a ride at a higher price to get out of the city you're in. And they do it on purpose. That's what they do. It's the way it is. You know, that's what corporations are. They're about making the money off the people, and they know how to implement these type of so-called surge pricings. But the term surge, we never really got to hear a lot of until Uber and Lyft came along. But now there are food companies that are wanting to do this as well, these surge prices. Again, I think it's a little ridiculous they're doing this, or they want to do it, because all it's going to do is piss off a lot of customers, and they're going to leave. And including the menu, folks. I mean, yes, it's a computerized damn menu, but unless you really speak, I mean, you could speak as clear as you could to the damn computer screen, a lot of times it's not registering your tone of voice. And so when you go to like McDonald's and that with these new menus, it's funny that you pull up there, and I keep thinking to myself, what if it was an old elderly person? You know, they're saying, I want two breakfast burritos. And then that thing's going, okay, two breakfast tacos, you know, or something, you know. Two rolls, two McMuffins, two this, you know. No, I want two breakfast burritos. And the computer just don't understand what the hell they're saying. But that's what it is. I'm thinking, these damn elderly people is trying to speak to the computer screen thinking it's a human being, and then the damn thing doesn't understand them. And then by the time they roll up there, they're eating, you know, some kind of food they didn't even order. But that's what I'm saying. These new computer screens, yeah, they're a plus in some sense because it helps to move things faster, and it helps to promote, you know, more of a faster industry for serving food of the fast food names. But then it does have the purpose of hurting people, and that hurts the company as well. And that's where the problem lies. Yeah, I don't think I could. I don't think it's going to go well. I don't think these new signs are going to go well, these new menus with Lyft, because the prices are going to be all over the map. It really is. Not with Lyft, I'm sorry. When they're doing the prices with, like, Wendy's and that, like, Wendy's doing this sign thing, I don't know why their marketing reps came up with this idea. It was kind of a dumb idea, really. And the only thing I can think of is they were watching Lyft, and they were watching Uber, and they were watching McDonald's, and they said, well, look, McDonald's is doing something like this. Why don't we take it to the next level and then do surge pricing on it? But we're not going to tell anybody about the surge pricing. We're going to tell them that you're getting a discount, and it helps you to get better discounts. That's what they're trying to promote it as, is you're going to get better discounts for the customer. But in the long run, it's not about the discounts. It's about the price increases. So yeah, I think to me that corporations are getting greedier ever since COVID happened, with a lockdown. Businesses have really tried their damnedest to lock everything down. And then now that they have locked down and they had to go shut their businesses down because people weren't going to work and people had to quarantine, and you know, That to them, they were like, oh, this hurt my business. Oh, my God, it hurt my business. We were down for 4 months, and now we're having some problems. Let's make the people pay for it. And that's what they did. And so corporations are now making it to the point that they raise the prices on all their shit. And that even includes the food at the supermarkets. Now, I don't know if anybody's been to the supermarket recently, but if you have, then you probably have seen some really high prices. I mean, crazy, outrageous prices for bread, for milk, for hamburger meat or hot dogs. I mean, this is processed meat that they have, and they're selling it at 2 to 3 times more than what we usually buy it at. It's ridiculous. And I think that people are just getting fed up with all these damn corporations doing this. And by the way, people always say that it's politicians, it's a politician fault. How dare Joe Biden raise the prices on these food industries? How dare they raise the prices on this and on that in the economy? The president of the United States has nothing to do with that. Just like if Donald Trump was president, he had nothing to do with it. These are big corporations, big pharmaceutical companies and so forth. They run this country. And so our politicians have basically bought and sold the soul of our nation to these companies. And then when the company gets in trouble and they start having a lot of problems, what do? They come to the United States government begging for help, begging for a bailout. And, you know, that's what they want. They want help. When, in fact, they're trying to declare bankruptcy on, you know, millions of dollars. And the reason why they want to declare bankruptcy on millions of dollars, I don't know if people know this, but what these companies do is that they declare bankruptcy on the name of the company. You know what they do? They just rename it, reopen it up as a different name, and now it's a different company altogether. But it's the same company they bankrupt on. It's a way for them to basically start over. But that's what they can do. And corporations can do it, and they have been doing it. You know, as to opposed to you and I trying to do bankruptcy, it's a lot different when it comes to us, because our bankruptcy status is, yeah, we can get rid of everything, but we have more stipulations on what we can declare under bankruptcy than a corporation does. And it's, you know, again, the bankruptcy, I believe, was designed for corporations. When they made bankruptcies, they made it for the corporations. It basically gave them an easy way out. So, I mean, just think about that. Think about how all that works. And while you do that, we're going to take a break, and we'll come right back.
And budget. Cool.
Welcome to The Daily Show. I'm your host, Jon Stewart, captain of this dying medium. Why would you even say that to me? What did a gentleman tell me tonight? He said, oh, I'm so happy to be here. You know your television is dying. I said, I am aware, and in fact, I'm contributing to it. You're welcome. I did have such a good time last week doing the program, and then everybody at Comedy Central was like, oh, what are you going to do this week? And I was like, wait, this week? I did a Monday. What am I, a cyborg? Come on. But I don't mind, because, quite frankly, the response to the first show last Monday was universally glowing.
Jon Stewart is facing massive backlash from Democrats over his comments about Joe Biden. Oberman tweeted, well, after 9 years away, there's nothing else to say to the both sidest fraud, Jon Stewart bashing Biden, except please make it another 9 years. Christy Jackson tweeted, sorry, but I won't be watching you either.
Okay. maybe not universal. But that was on Twitter. Everything on Twitter gets a backlash. I've seen Twitter tell labradoodles to go f*** themselves. Labradoodles. I just think it's better to deal head on with what's an apparent issue to people. I mean, we're just talking here.
And Mary Trump tweeting, not only is Stewart's both sides are the same rhetoric not funny, it's a potential disaster for democracy.
It's one f***ing show! It was just one f***ing show! It was 20 minutes! I did 20 minutes of one f***ing show! But I guess as the famous saying goes, democracy dies in discussion. But look, I have sinned against you. I'm sorry. It was never my intention to say out loud what I saw with my eyes and then brain. I can do better. I can have learning. I can have it. But I don't even know where to start with that. Where do I go to study the particulars of unquestioning propaganda? I would need mentorship.
We're in Moscow tonight. We're here to interview the president of Russia, Vladimir Putin.
Saints be praised. For Professor Tucker Aloysius Mayflower, Kenny Bumpsport, Backgammon Carlson III. has arrived. Professor, tell me, what is step one in delivering world-class fealty to power?
Here's why we're doing it. First, because it's our job. We're in journalism.
Lie about what your job is.
We're in journalism. Our duty is to inform people.
Lie about what your duty is.
Americans have a right to know all they can about a war they're implicated in. Freedom of speech is our birthright. We were born with the right to say what we believe.
Oh, shit. Kudos, Sensei. That was deep. I have much to learn. Disguise your deception and capitulation to power as noble and moral and based in freedom. Yes, master. Just out of curiosity, as a student, when you're sitting there interviewing Putin and you don't plan to challenge his utter bullshit, but you don't want to really be that obvious, what do you do with your face? Oh, I see. Okay, so it's not really a straight face as much as you try to convey a mixture of what appears to be shame, arousal, and I'm going to say irregularity. For instance, like you're constipated while jerking off to a Sears catalog. Been there, haven't you? The guy up there saying, like, well, the lingerie ads were... Now, obviously, Tucker's strategy is going to work when there's some ambiguity in what Putin says. But what if Putin starts saying shit like, World War II was Poland's fault because they forced Hitler to invade them? I mean, what do you do with something like that? That's going to be hard.
After World War I, this territory was transferred to Poland, and instead of Danzig, a city of Dansk emerged. Hitler asked them to give it amicably, but they refused.
Of course.
Of course! You know, it's so hard to do when your face says, what the f***? And your mouth says, of course, it's just a... So hard to hold, how do you, all right. How do you do that? By the way, Poland started World War II. Why would a country whose navy has submarines with screen doors want to instigate a war? Quick history lesson. Years ago, for reasons nobody is really sure of, a stereotype emerged that Polish people were inept in various ways, including, obviously, submarine manufacturing, and even something as simple as the changing of a light bulb. I don't know actually how many Polish people you think it takes to change a light bulb, but it's certainly less than the conventional wisdom at that time would tell you. Now, we know that Polish people are as smart as anyone, and certainly did not deserve to be invaded by the Germans, who, of course, accomplished that by marching in backwards, so the Poles thought they were leaving. Well, I like to give you a little bit of dumb. Well, this has been an incredible primer into the delicate dance of speaking, of course, to power. Tell me, Tucker, does this masterclass include field trips?
How does Russia have a subway station that normal people use to get to work and home every single day that's nicer than anything in our country? There's no graffiti, there's no filth, there's no foul smells.
That's a nice subway. That's a very... Although, to be fair to the New York City system, it was constructed in 1904 out of urinal cakes by the great engineer Giuseppe Pissa Everywhere. But point taken, it's a very nice subway. But the subway, that's only one thing.
So we thought it would be interesting to take a look at a contemporary, modern-day, 2024 Russian grocery store.
Ooh. Go on.
All right. Here we go. So I guess you put in 10 rubles here, and you get it back when you put the cart back. So it's free, but there's an incentive to return it and not just bring it to your homeless encampment.
I know I've said this before. You're such a dick. I didn't realize America's homeless problem is caused entirely by easy access to grocery carts. I had all my stuff in my house, but I didn't know I could put it on wheels. It's so much easier.
This is the grocery cart escalator. This is designed, I'm figuring this out now, where the wheels don't move. They lock on the grocery cart escalator. Look, Ma, no hands.
Okay, Forrest. An escalator for the grocery cart, and the doors open automatically. Oh, Mother Russia. Oh, Mother Russia.
Russia is famous for its bread, which is one thing I can assess pretty well. Look at that. It's fresh, too. Look at that. Oh, come on.
This guy really likes bread. I hate to think what would have happened if he had found a bagel. But hey, if being a free speech warrior means you have to bang the occasional sourdough, Nostrovia. But our time is limited. Could you drive home the purpose of your deception on this trip in the most cynical way possible, please?
We didn't pay any attention to costs. We were just putting in the cart what we would actually eat over a week. And we all came in around about $400. It was $104 US. Here and coming to a Russian grocery store, the heart of evil, and seeing what things cost and how people live, it will radicalize you against our leaders. That's how I feel anyway. Radicalized.
Radicalized. And it will radicalize you unless you understand basic economics. See, $104 for groceries sounds like a great bargain unless you realize Russians earn less than $200 a week. But that's the kind of context that a, what did you call yourself earlier? A journalist would have provided. But here's the reality. You f***ing know all this because you aren't as dumb as your face would have us believe. Perhaps if your handlers had allowed, you would have seen there is a hidden fee to your cheap groceries and orderly streets. Ask Alexei Navalny or any of his supporters.
In Vladimir Putin's Russia, political repression is everywhere. And hundreds have been arrested for daring to honor Navalny so publicly.
Right. Because the difference between our urinal-caked chaotic subways and your candelabra-ed beautiful subways is the literal price of freedom. But the goal that Carlson and his ilk are pushing is that there's really no difference between our systems. In fact, theirs might be a little bit better. The question is, why? Why is Tucker doing this? Here's why. Because the old civilizational battle was communism versus capitalism. That's what drove the world since World War II. Russia was the enemy then. But now they think the battle is woke versus unwoke. And in that fight, Putin is an ally to the right. He's their friend. Unfortunately, he is also a brutal and ruthless dictator. So now they have to make Americans a little more comfortable with that. I mean, liberty is nice, but have you seen Russia's shopping carts? And Tucker would have gotten away with it if it weren't for those meddling assassins.
In a statement to the New York Times, Carlson said, quote, "It is horrifying what happened to Navalny. The whole thing is barbaric and awful. No decent person would defend it."
Correct. No decent person would. For more on... Oh, please, enjoy your thought. For more on Tucker Carlson's interview with...
Okay, there you go. From The Daily Show, Jon Stewart. Excellent. Yeah, Tucker Carlson is one of those, he's one of those guys who's really like one of the most embarrassing people in America. He calls himself a journalist. Everybody knows that he's just a Russian asset. Then you got to look at, well, who is he following? Well, he follows Vladimir Putin. He follows Vladimir Putin. He loves Vladimir Putin. And so does Donald Trump. And if Trump loves Vladimir Putin, then, well, all the MAGAs got to love Republic. They got to love Vladimir Putin as well. But then they want to turn around and say, no, Donald Trump is the harshest person on Russia. So then you got to look at, well, maybe they're right. And then you realize, well, Donald Trump in every picture or news clipping of Donald Trump with Vladimir Putin is always about he was a good man or he's a great guy or no, I don't believe he would have meddled in our elections in 2020. No, he wouldn't have done that. The hell of our own government. And if they say that it did happen, well, they're full of bullshit. We got to believe Vladimir Putin because he's the one that's the correct one to believe. And then they say, well, why would we want to fund the war against Russia by helping fund Ukraine with militarized weapons to fight? So we don't have to. And so, you know, they say, let's put that out there. Well, oh, well, they don't want to do that. And they don't want to pass a bill for that to happen because, well, it would go against their beliefs of Vladimir Putin and Russia. Do you see how this is all coming together about the Republicans and the schemes and the bullshit that they're pulling off by trying to make people think that Vladimir Putin is our ally? How can you allow a man who kills and destroys innocent victims in his country over their beliefs, their practices? How can you support this guy who believes in killing multiple Ukrainians just for death, for land, as he's out there executing each and every one of them through his military. How can we support this guy? How can we support any Republican that wants to support this guy? We shouldn't. But then you got to realize it all boils down to people like Fox News and Tucker Carlson and all them promoting that Vladimir Putin is a nice guy, that Vladimir Putin is a great ally to the United States. That's what they want you to believe. And if you don't believe it, go look at it. Look at how much they embrace, the Republicans embrace Vladimir Putin. They're doing it right now. I don't understand how Republicans can support that shit. I mean, you're supposed to be a true patriot of American citizen, American at heart, and you believe in protecting our country from foreign and domestic terrorism, and you still supported a man who created an insurrection that allowed our country to be in a disarray over the storming of the Capitol building by his freaking MAGA supporters, who, by the way, committed an act of domestic terrorism. That's exactly what they did. They committed domestic terrorism. And you supported him for that. If you don't believe how screwed up Donald Trump is, when he was supposed to come out and do apology video telling his supporters, remember when January 6th was going on and, you know, they were attacking the Capitol and they were destroying it, and they said, Trump, you need to come out and say something. He didn't want to come out and say anything. You know why? Because he liked what they were doing. He wanted them to attack the United States Capitol. That's what he wanted to happen. But then it kind of got him into a situation because he had to say something, or it would have fell back on him 100%, right? So how do you do that? Well, you come out and you say a speech telling your supporters to back down. And if it's not his supporters doing it, then why is he the one coming out telling them to back down? Because he knows it's his supporters, and they listen to him, brainwashed by him, and that's why they forced him to go out and say something. Donald Trump did not want to say a damn thing. He did not want to do the speech. But they made him do it because of the bullshit that he had been doing. And when Donald Trump was supposed to do the speech, he had a couple problems during the speech. He could not come up with what to say in the speech as he was practicing it. And we have the outtakes of this. I want you to hear the outtakes of him doing the speech of January 6th and listen how ruthless this man is. Listen how he did not want to turn in his followers because he liked what they were doing. And you can tell it in this audio. You can also tell that he enjoyed what he did to those people. He enjoyed that his followers murdered police officers. He enjoyed it. And he did not want to stop it. He wanted to continue on, but they told him he had to stop. And you can tell it in the outtakes of his voice. Here's what had happened. Listen carefully. It blows your mind. Sure. Here it is.
I would like to begin by addressing the heinous attack yesterday, and to those who broke the law, you will pay. You do not represent our movement. You do not represent our country. And if you broke the law, you can't say that. I'm not gonna, you, I already said you will pay. The demonstrators who infiltrated the Capitol have defied the seat of dust. It's defiled, right? See, I can't see it very well. Okay, I'll do this. I'm going to do this. Let's go. But this election is now over. Congress has certified the results. I don't want to say the election's over. I just want to say Congress has certified the results without saying the election's over, okay?
But Congress has certified. Now Congress.
I didn't say over, so let me see. Don't go to the paragraph before. Okay? I would like to begin by addressing the heinous attack yesterday. Yesterday is a hard word for me.
Just take it out. The heinous attack.
Ah, good. Take the word yesterday, because it doesn't work with... The heinous attack.
Great, sir.
I would like to begin by addressing the heinous attack yesterday, and to those who broke the law, you will pay. You do not represent our movement, you do not represent our country, and if you broke the law, can't say that. I'm not gonna, you, I already said you will pay. The demonstrators who infiltrated the Capitol have defied the seat of dust.
There you go. Donald Trump, fumbling around for his speech there, did not want to say that the election was over. He didn't want to say that, you know, that they would pay severely for their punishment. He wanted to backtrack out of all of it, and he wanted to pussyfoot around and just give them the, you know, a tap on the hand, a little slap on the hand and move them on. That's who Donald Trump is. He is a spineless, dictating, fascist pig is what he is. It's pathetic. It really is pathetic. And the one thing I can tell you is this, that watching the poll numbers as far as the primaries and Donald Trump running in the primaries right now, currently, he's not winning by a large number of votes. In the primaries, he's not winning by a high percentage rate. In states, which only can tell you that he doesn't have the support that he used to have in 2016. He has probably even less support than he had in 2020. And so now it goes to show that Donald Trump is a problem. And that he'll be lucky if he makes it through 2024. Because of his legal issues. I mean, you got to think, this guy is running for president with all these indictments that are going on, with all these different cases going on, and he's running on a campaign about, you know, this kind of stuff. But it's not going to happen, guys. Donald Trump has a lot of problems ahead of him, and these legal issues are what's going to cause the problem. In Illinois, the state of Illinois has already banned Trump from the ballots. Here comes another state talking about banning Trump, and they did. So now Donald Trump is trying to fight that as well. There has been numerous states so far for the primaries that have decided to kick his name off the ballot. And then, you know, of course, they're doing it because of the Insurrection Act of the 14th Amendment, by the way. And because it's the 14th Amendment, they're saying that, hey, what he did as president was an insurrection. And so if they followed the 14th Amendment, that means that if somebody holds a political office and they commit an insurrection against the country, then they can never run for president or any government official office. So with that said, the 14th Amendment does apply to Donald Trump now that he has been convicted of the Insurrection Act. But it doesn't stop there, does it, folks? Because now he's down in Georgia for election fraud. And, of course, he is so damn dumb that he doesn't realize how much he has tried to influence the election. We've heard it many times, right? We've heard him try to influence the election. And he's trying to do it again. But Americans are smarter. They are now smarter than they were in 2016 and knowing what to look for. That's why in 2020, it never happened for Donald Trump. You know, he lost because Americans were smarter. And as we keep going on, they're getting smarter and smarter. It's amazing. It really is amazing. But Donald Trump has a lot of problems going on. You know, another thing that happened to him, he lost all of his business deals in New York just recently. And now he's been ordered to pay over $400 million to the state of New York. He has not even been able to pay that because, well, he doesn't really have $400 million. So he's been asking his followers to make a donation to him along with selling $400 Trump treason shoes. Yeah, he's got his own line of gym shoes out now, $400 a pop. And Fox News, God love these idiots. Fox News came out yesterday, I believe it was, and they were talking about the new gym shoes that Donald Trump has promoted, and they're saying that this is a great way for Donald Trump to influence and get the black vote. Oh, yeah. Go in there and watch it. It's on there. They are talking about Donald Trump getting the black votes because that's why he made these gym shoes, is to help him get the black votes out there from African-American voters. Folks, that's not the reason why. And I'm going to tell you what, I don't think that somebody who is black is going to say, well, oh my God, Donald Trump came out with these cheesy looking gold gym shoes and I'm going to vote for him. I mean, think about it. How stupid can you be? But Donald Trump is desperate because he has no money. He owes $400 million in legal fees plus another $84 million to E. Jean Carroll for raping her. So he's got all this money that he owes to people, but he has no money. I mean, he can't even get enough money to run his campaign. He's so screwed. So when it comes down to it, people can say, well, yeah, we watched the polls and we see this and the polls show it close and all this. That's what we saw in 2020. We saw in 2020 that it was close, that Donald Trump was leading by a very slight margin over Joe Biden in the polls. But when it came to election time, it was the largest in the history of America for voting. And what happened is that, well, people were tired of Donald Trump. And so they did everything in their power to basically, try to get rid of Donald Trump. And that's what they did. But yeah, he's like a bad rash. He's trying to come back and run again here in 2024. And all I think he's doing is spinning wheels because he can't get elected. This man is damaged goods. But then you got to think, who would vote for this guy? And then you realize, oh, my God, look who it is, his dumb supporters. Trump's supporters, MAGA supporters, are seriously brainwashed individuals. And it's been proven that. Well, here, let me show you. Listen to this audio, explains Donald Trump's supporters. Screwed up they really are.
These people who are coming here are not assimilating. They're poisoning the blood of the country, voting Donald Trump.
The founding fathers restricted voting rights for vast majorities of people, including women. The women didn't receive the right to vote until the 19th Amendment.
And then we fixed that.
I don't think that was a good thing.
You don't think so?
I don't think it was a good thing. I believe
the 19th Amendment?
Yeah. Every woman, every person, women, men, black, white, whatever, has equal dignity under the law and before God. That doesn't mean they'll have the same roles and should have the same influence in a society.
So who should have influence in our society?
Christian leaders.
White Christian men.
White Christian men.
Trump said he wants to be a day one dictator. Would you be okay with him extending that throughout the rest of his presidency?
No, I don't think so.
You did say you hated democracy, though.
Yeah, we're a constitutional republic.
We're a democratic republic.
No, we're not.
You don't think so?
No, we're a constitutional republic.
These two things aren't mutually exclusive. If you have mechanisms that allow people to vote representatives in, and those representatives vote for you, that is a representative democracy, right?
No, yeah. These people who are coming here are not assimilating. They're poisoning the blood of the country, voting Donald Trump.
The founding fathers restricted voting rights for vast majorities of people, including women. The women didn't receive the right to vote until the 19th Amendment.
And then we fixed that.
I don't think that was a good thing.
You don't think so?
I don't think it was a good thing. I believe
the 19th Amendment?
Yeah. Every woman, every person, women, men, black, white, whatever, has equal dignity under the law and before God. That doesn't mean they'll have the same roles and should have the same influence in a society.
So who should have influence in our society?
Christian leaders.
White Christian men.
White Christian men.
Trump said he wants to be a day one dictator. Would you be okay with him extending that throughout the rest of his presidency?
No, I don't think so.
You did say you hated democracy, though.
Yeah, we're a constitutional republic.
We're a democratic republic.
No, we're not.
You don't think so?
No, we're a constitutional republic.
These two things aren't mutually exclusive. If you have mechanisms that allow people to vote representatives in, and those representatives vote for you, that is a representative democracy, right?
I just wonder, too, I mean, how come everybody I know of that went to college is a Biden student?
Yeah.
And I don't understand how everybody is a Biden supporter if you just went to college. So what are they teaching in this college? Are they teaching anything?
Stuff like inclusivity and respecting other people, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, woke.
Yeah, wokeness, yeah.
Just wonder. Ago, we warned during the Trump tax cuts that this dramatic decrease in revenue would explode the nation's debt. And we heard from the Republican side, no, let us write off our yachts. Yet let us write off our private jets. And we said that this decrease in revenue would explode our and explode our national debt. But instead now of realizing the error of our ways and reversing these tax cuts for the wealthy, we are now seeing the Republican side promote a bill that cuts student loan cancellation, veterans health care, cancer research, opioid treatment, meals on wheels, and more. Several years
ago, you want to ban drag show readings to children.
To my
Why?
Mind. Yes.
Why?
Why?
What are you protecting?
Why can we prohibit children from voting, those under 18 from voting?
Is that free speech?
They can continue to exercise their free speech, just not in front of a child.
Why?
Because the government does have a responsibility to protect...
I'm sorry?
The government does have a responsibility
uh-huh.
in certain instances to
What's
protect children.
What's the leading cause of death amongst children in this country? And I'm going to give you a hint. It's not drag show readings to children.
Correct, yes.
So what is it?
I'm presuming you're going to say it's firearms.
No, I'm not going to say it like it's an opinion. That's what it is. It's firearms. More than cancer, more than car accidents. And what you're telling me is you don't mind infringing free speech to protect children from this amorphous thing that you think of. But when it comes to children that have died, you don't give a flying fuck to stop that because that shall not be infringed. That is hypocrisy at its highest order. You want to ban-
Oh, no. There you go, Republicans. Man, oh man. You know, it's pretty pathetic. It's pretty pathetic that people are going to support, you know, this party of evilness, I'll tell you. And it's so terrible that, you know, we're in a world of shit as long as they remain in power. The House of Representatives, prime example, has not had any bills passed in the House. They have only tried to seek out to go after Joe Biden and Hunter Biden. So what did they do? Well, they started to say that they had all this dirt on Joe Biden and Hunter Biden. And then they turned around and created fake evidence through one of their FBI directors or FBI associates. And the guy had to come out and tell the truth. It did not look good for him. It did not look good for him at all. And so he had to face the price of promoting fake information to the House, which the Republicans knew that it was fake. The problem is they were trying to use the fake information to go after Joe Biden and Hunter Biden. That tells you how stupid these Republicans are. And then they get caught doing it because they're trying their damnedest to impeach him. And so they're looking for anything, even if they have to make it up. And that's what they did. So they knew they couldn't impeach him. So what did they do? Well, they took the next step. And the next step was to go after the Director of Homeland Security. Why not? Why not go after the Homeland Security Director and impeach him? And that's what they did. They did it as a ruse to go against him. And they blamed him for the border crisis. They blamed him for it. They blamed Joe Biden for it. And the problem is, it's not Joe Biden's problem about the border. It's not the Director of Homeland Security's problem. It's the Republicans' problem. They did not want to pass no bills that would help our border security. They have not wanted to pass those for a long time. And by not passing these bills, there's nothing being done to promote or help our border crisis. So when they say we have a border problem, it's because the Republicans refuse to pass bills to fund these programs to help fix the problems down there. But they don't want to do it. They really don't want to do it. And the reason they don't want to do it, it's not because of Ukraine, by the way. It's because some orange fat bastard down in Mar-a-Lago, sitting on his fat ass, made a phone call saying, do not pass the bill because it'll make the Democrats look good and Joe Biden look good. And therefore, we don't want that to happen during an election year. That's what happened. That's what really, truly happened. But these so-called MAGA Republicans are listening to Donald Trump, and they're believing him. They're still brainwashed by him. I mean, it's kind of funny watching day by day Vladimir Putin infiltrating and poisoning the House of Representatives on the Republican side. And the love of Vladimir Putin by the Republicans is just asinine. It's crazy. I cannot believe how much they stand up for this guy. The man who is an enemy and is a despicable person of any human being. But the problem is that Joe Biden, you know, he definitely has a fight on his hand with Donald Trump. And a lot of people are trying to say that Joe Biden's losing his marbles and he's going nuts and he can't think straight, and he's got dementia and blah, 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 blah. But the man has done an outstanding job for the economy, as it's been proven. He has increased more jobs, as it's been proven. And he's helped out with the crisis in not only in Ukraine and Israel, but he's been helping out there. But he has also promoted more efficient energy efficiency for our country, and it's helped out a lot for the environment. But they don't want you to know any of the good stuff. They just want you to know that Joe Biden's a feeble old man. Can't make decisions. But that's not the truth. And if we really want to get technical, Donald Trump is pretty much the same age as Joe Biden. Donald Trump has a lot of cognitive issues. It's been proven in his last rallies. He has been babbling about Barack Obama being the current president. He's gotten Nikki Haley mixed up with Nancy Pelosi. He has fallen, and his Secret Service had to walk him across the stage. So everything that, these Republicans say, well, Joe Biden's got all these problems. We need to look at Donald Trump. Donald Trump has some major issues going on, and there is something mentally wrong with him. Besides being a narcissist, there is some other stuff happening there. There's a lot of cognitive problems, truly is. Yeah, it just blows my mind. It really does. When we get to the point of a lot of this happening, like, you know, these people bring this shit up. But it is, without a doubt, something very dangerous is to allow the Republicans to continue to run our country. Until we make a decision to vote out all the Republicans, there's nothing you can do until they are gone from the picture. Once the Republicans have been eliminated out of the Senate and of the House, and Joe Biden is reelected, which is going to happen, then maybe you will see the country move forward even better than ever before. But until that day, you have to settle for what the Republicans are wanting to do. And a couple of those things are, they've already mentioned that they want to get rid of Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. These are the programs that are federally funded that they want to get rid of. And they want to do it quickly. And that's their plan of action. If Donald Trump wins the presidency, he will be the one to sign it all in the bill. That's what they're waiting for. And they're also waiting for the mysterious ways of the destruction of our country. They're waiting for that. Republicans are despicable creatures. But in the long run, that's what we'll look forward to, of what's going to happen to our country, right? That's what we have to find out. By the way, the Republicans just recently cut after-school funding for food for students. So children who were expected to get food after school, they had these cards that they would give them, and the cards would allow them to eat food after school. This was really good for lower income families. It helped parents not have to worry about how to feed their kids after school. But the Republicans said, we don't need to feed our kids. Pull that shit out, and they did. So now That program has expired. Another program is under the Obama administration plan, which was government phones and internet services. This allowed people with low income to be able to have a government phone and government internet. Well, they have since not passed a bill to extend that. And so, therefore, as of April 1st, 2024, those who have government phones or government internet, be prepared for you to lose your benefits because it's coming. And then when that does happen and you have no phone service or no internet service, remember, once you regain service, make sure you contact these airports like Cincinnati. You contact the other ones. I mean, make sure you do it. That's what you got to remember. All right, with that said, these bills are important. They really are. Once you have these bills that are taking place and you see this stuff happening, I had a Donald Trump moment just now. It was so funny. I did it on purpose, by the way. I know. Okay, let me get back on track here. I really got to be serious here for a minute. So what we have to really do is we have to really look at these programs being cut. We have to really go into effect of trying to fight for it. And we have to get rid of the Republican Party. Get them out of office. Do not vote for them. Vote for Democrats. Let the Republicans know that you're fed up and tired of the same old bullshit of them eliminating these federal programs that will help your family members. Once they have cut Social Security, oh my God, you know how many people are going to suffer? There's a lot of individuals on Social Security, including a lot of the elderly people, but they don't care. They look at you that are on low income welfare, you are scum to them. You are below their standards, and that's what they see. But you want to be a part of their plan. You want to hope that, oh, they're paying attention to me. And so just because they're paying attention to me, offering me food or you know, free stuff, guess what? I guess they like me. And they want to be my friend. But they don't want to be your friend. They don't care about you. They just want you to vote for them. That's where you are a true weapon, is by voting against them. All right, with that said, I just want to let everybody know that Sunday, tomorrow at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, is the beginning of our first show. Paula Alexander, my co-host, and myself will be here to take your calls, and we will also do a lot more, but our first show is tomorrow, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Come join me. Unless things change, we'll be here, okay? So remember, check it out. Check it out. Go to our website, jerrywilliams.com. Go and email me if you have any questions, jerrywilliamslive@gmail.com. And like always, thank you for tuning in. I'm going to go ahead and end the show, and you guys have a good night, and please take care. God bless you, God bless America, and God bless our troops. Have a good night, everybody.